time for the Molloy Drive Show podcast. Okay, Australia, you know him. You can count on him.
I'm a 50-50 chance.
You love him.
Hello, go to the top shelf, ladies.
And now, it's his show.
Here we go, people.
This is Molloy.
Welcome to the Thursday edition. Hello, Dave.
How are you, Mickey?
I love Thursdays.
Me
means Jim Jefferies is in the house. Cannot wait. We missed him last week. He's back on deck. We'll find out where he was last week. We'll get to the bottom of that. So much ground to cover today. Gone Wild, up and about.
Oh, look out. I love Thursday. Give us something from Gone Wild. What do you got?
We go to the cockfights.
Okay, that'll do.
That's all I'm saying. Hey, royal news. There's loads to get through. Megan's in the wars. Mm-hmm. Philip Burr could be done. Song Whisperer up and about. Crime Report. All I'm saying is this. Guy's been arrested for the worst karaoke ever.
Oh, look out.
Hey, we asked the question, what have you stolen?
Oh, yeah.
There'll be a vaccine update. Elon Musk is at it again.
1-3-3-5-3, join in.
For the drive home, this is Molloy.
I need to report a crime.
Molloy's crime report.
Yeah.
Let's get straight into it.
What do you got?
This is horrific.
What's happened?
We're going to England. Council officers say they had received complaints from a house from a neighbourhood about terrible singing coming from a house.
Wait a minute.
The singer doing karaoke in his own lounge room has been fined $2,000 after sparking 150 complaints.
This must have been bad.
Well,
150 complaints, but you sing it in your lounge room. Buzz off everyone else.
If you get it wrong, you get it wrong. I'm trying to work out, see what the songs were. It doesn't seem to be listed.
Oh, I've got a couple here. There was, there's this
ABBA.
One.
Mate, I would have fined ABBA when they released that song, when they sang it. That's worth the $2,000
fine.
Yeah,
but he's just sitting in his lounge room in his own personal space. I don't get it.
He must have had a couple because then he got into Dire Straits.
Oh, which one?
Sultans of Swing.
Oh, yeah. Which I wouldn't think is a...
Everybody's sounds so good, the band's right.
It's not a karaoke song. It's more of a guitar song. There's hardly any lyrics in this song.
Well, if he had just stuck to the air guitar, he might have got away with it.
Any other songs?
Blue Monday? New Order?
No.
That is unbelievable. How can you... You can't stop it. Dolly Parton's Islands in the Stream.
Now, that is a karaoke song. You and Jane were going to do that at our karaoke night.
It's one of my karaoke songs. That's a duet.
I mean, there is the ultimate Mick Molloy karaoke song, which
hey,
is...
Hey, but listen, mate, don't... Did you ever know that you're my hero? Play it here now. You're going to play the big finish.
Okay.
It's really emotional,
is it?
It's an emotional song. I'm singing that with a dove on me. I'm standing in rose petals.
Look at you.
Got a flower like Mark Holden. Here, listen to Big Finish. You're the wind beneath my
wings. What's happening there at the end? Sounds like you've...
Mate, the song really takes off. As my spirit soars.
Mm.
And as the spirit soars, the note soars.
Yeah.
Any Puddle of Mud there?
Oh, I do, actually.
If I'd have played, but...
I've only got this one by Puddle of Mud, which I had on rotation ready to play for the Song Whisperer, but... Puddle of Mud is your thing.
All right, so there you go.
Yeah,
that's
right.
A fair call. If you're doing karaoke, you got to be pretty bad if you're in your own house.
Mm.
150 complaints.
I can't believe it. Must have been bad. Must have had the windows
What have you got from the crime report?
All right, here's something out of America. Officers have discovered a water bottle and a Cheetos bag on the floor in a house that was part of a burglary. Sharon Carr was arrested on February 26th. In fact, I've got the news report here, so
take
a listen.
The suspect, Sharon Carr, was arrested this week. Police said she allegedly broke into a home through a window, though quickly left when she realized residents were still inside.
Cheetos bag and water bottle were not theirs, and they think she probably dropped it trying to get out of the window.
The victim said Cheetos are not eaten in the home. Cheeto residue in Carr's teeth further linked her to the crime.
Gotcha!
Done in by a packet of Cheetos.
Cheetos.
So they found the empty packet of Cheetos at the window where she broke in.
Yes.
And then when they've tracked her down, they've found snack residue on her teeth.
I've got to say, you do get like cheesels as well. Like they do sit on your fingers forever. It's like you've been smoking for 50 years with the yellow one.
CSI milk bar. How's you dusting for prints and you get done with the Cheetos? Why? Yeah, there's lessons there. Stick to cheesels, not as much residue. Or open up the bag and tip them straight into your mouth, which is
what you've done.
Time I'd practice.
That's right.
Hey, there's another story here I like. I can't find it, though. You can maybe help me out about something that's been stolen.
Jay, the song
this
was
is the
got
pavement
the story.
Stolen in Storrington Village overnight in the UK.
Right. So, okay, so tell me the story.
Yeah. All right. So paving slabs, they were just picked up and whisked away under cover of darkness.
Like a street.
A street, like the footpath.
Someone stole a street.
Somebody stole the pavement from the footpath.
Mm. Why?
Somebody went on Reddit with a picture and said, an entire pavement in my village was stolen last night.
I've been looking for a recently paved pool.
Oh, hang on. in the market for
how do you steal streets?
Well, resident in the area, Alan Steiner.
I mean, you've got to have a jackhammer. Like, no one woke up. Everyone hears the guy singing Mamma Mia, but no one can hear a guy who's jacking up an entire...
Just gone down there with a crowbar, perhaps.
There was a guy, there was a director in Hollywood. He was the guy director of The Deer Hunter. Mm. He was making his next film. And he had them build an entire street with a road. He wanted to film on it, and at the end he decided that the road needed to be 6 inches wider, so they knocked everything down and started again.
Oh, my God. That's
those were the days.
What a waste.
I can't get my council to do anything.
No.
It's a fake street. It's a fake street. And it's, he stole a road. What have you stolen? 133353. And don't just say, my neighbor's cat. Yeah. I want to know what you've stolen.
I stole a Kettle Weber barbecue when I was in college.
Well, off who?
I just took it off somebody's patio. I don't know.
What an idiot.
I was under the influence of
you were drunk, weren't you? Yeah. You would wake up with a Weber in your house going, what happened, man?
Is somebody cooking pork chops?
Oh, what we did when we were very young. We were very young, and I don't recommend anyone do this.
What happened?
We got our neighbours into a front yard, and we put a statue on a tow rope up to the back of our Irvan and towed it out. And drove it around Mount Eliza, and all the features rubbed off the face. And then we went and placed the statue back. And we just took them, like the old guys out the front yard are watering the lawn, and we're just sitting there laughing our heads off because you can do it. 1-3-5-3, get involved. What have you stolen?
Get
prizes
involved.
Galore.
Get with the program, Toots. This is Malloy.
Coming up a little later, Jim Jeffries back from LA, which is always great. Also, we're taking your calls 133353 on the back of an English village, apparently, has had the pavement stolen. So they've sort of dug up
a crime report.
Yeah, it's a crime report.
It was part of our crime report, and someone stole a street.
That's just ridiculous.
Someone stole Ramsey Street.
Well, that sign's been stolen a few times, too.
Well, stolen, but what if the whole street's toady? It'd be roping.
Oh, he would be.
Hey, we're asking you, what have you stolen? Ben's on the line. Ben, what did you steal, buddy?
Well, Dostie, I had something stolen off me.
What? You're the victim in this crime? What was the crime?
Someone stole a huge meat tree off me.
Oh.
That's pretty low.
Okay, I don't use this phrase often, but that is un-Australian.
It is.
The meat tray is the greatest of all the knickknacks, of all the trophies, of anything you covet. If you walk out of a pub... stroke fundraising night with the meat tray. You're king of the world. How did they do it? Did you take your eye off it? Did you put it down? Are you hanging with a bad crowd?
Never a bad crowd. Mm. But I was in the Navy at the time, living in Sydney. Went to the local pub, won the big meat tray. And as I didn't have a fridge in the room, I had to put it in the common room fridge. Made a few phone calls to mates. Let's have a beer.
An idiot.
There's
Ben.
A mistake right there.
Ben, no sympathy. No, Ben, no. You've put a meat tray in the common room fridge of a naval base. And you're ringing us up expecting
30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Wow.
It's been woof.
30 minutes, that's all.
Oh, mate.
Mate, I have seen the Navy boys on the tear. I have seen the Navy boys after a good night out.
Yes.
And they would have woofed that. They would have demolished that like a plague of locusts, leaving nothing in their path as soon as they saw it. Slab of Brick Lane for you anyway, Ben.
Oh,
Darren, what did you steal?
Hey, Darren.
Yeah, mate. How you going?
Good, buddy. What'd you steal, mate?
What'd you steal?
When I was a young bloke, back when Coke bottles were still worth 20 cents, I parents dropped me off at another people's places. We ended up taking me to church for the day. And okay. I noticed everyone was making tributes to a cash box, which seemed to me pretty fair game. So,
oh, no.
Jeez. At the end of it all, I the following day, I rode back on my push bike and bashed it off the wall with a hammer and went home and opened it up.
David, no, David, stop it. And went down to the parlour
for the afternoon.
All right. Now, David.
It's Darren.
We can't condone that.
Darren. It's Darren, Mick.
Oh, Darren, all right. I'm David. Oh, are you going to reward that?
Yeah, I think so. Slab a brick later. I'll tell you what we'll also do. Blues Fest is back, as we know.
Just listen up. It's a crime against God.
He was eight, all right? It was a long time ago. And
have you had a lot of bad luck since then, Darren?
It hasn't stopped, Mick.
This is his one phone call for the day.
I'm come to think of it. I'm not sure whether Blues Fest is ready for
you. On a Christmas Eve once, we're down in Mount Eliza, and my mate stole the Virgin Mary and Baby Jesus from the nativity scene out the front of a church. And we were all having a drink down the beach on top of this cliff, and he strapped it to the front of his car. And at the last minute, he turned on his headlights and started the engine. And it looked like the Virgin Mary, a glowing Virgin Mary, was coming towards us.
Right.
A couple of us may have been smoking. And let's just say I and another fell backwards off a cliff.
Wow.
And it was all part
good
of
times.
The fun.
Good times.
Hey, 133353, you get the idea. Give us a call, people.
By the way, Darren, yes, we will put you in the draw for Blues Fest 2021. You can go malloyshow.com to enter online as well. We are going to draw that tomorrow, by the way, so good luck. Get involved. Yeah, 133353, what have you stolen?
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
You might be streaming on the Listener app, missed any of the shows from the week. You can always catch up with the podcast there as well. Mick Malloy, 133353.
Right.
Things that have, had stolen.
Things stolen. Someone stole a street.
Yeah.
It was part of our crime report. We think it's a bit over the top, but we're asking what have you stolen or had stolen? And we'll reward you with a prize. Have we got a prize for my desk today, Dave?
I do, yeah, I do.
All right, here in the studio. Hang about.
Let's
say what it is.
Okay.
Mark's on the line. Mark, what was stolen?
G'day, guys. My grandparents back in the 80s had about a dozen garden gnomes stolen from their front yard.
Oh. And they were stolen for a while, and what happened?
About 2 weeks later, they started getting postcards and photographs of the gnomes on holidays from all over Australia.
I think this was a craze at a time. Mm-hmm. I think there was a fair bit of this going on. And then were they later returned?
Months later, they were put back in the exact same spot. So they must have taken photos of them before they left.
That's a good crime because it's harmless, it's a bit of fun, and they've created something out of nothing. Thanks. Dave's on the line. Dave, what'd you steal?
Dave.
Yes, how you going?
G'day, mate. What'd you steal?
What'd you steal, mate?
Just ringing up about the borrowed thing where you borrow something.
Mate, I've asked you twice.
Yeah.
What did you steal, buddy?
I borrowed the school flag when I was at school, and then it sort of made the news over there. And that couple of weeks later, the Minister for Education came out and presented a new one. And about half an hour after he left, I took the flag.
Okay.
So you've stolen two school flags. You could be signed up to the Australian swimming team.
I could be, eh?
That's exactly the type of thing they would do. Give him a slab of beer, Dave.
There you go. Brick Lane coming your way, Dave.
You.
Good on you, mate.
All
thanks for ringing through.
Let's keep moving. Warren's on the line. Ooh. Warren, what'd you steal? Was it Gavin? Sorry,
yeah, Gavin.
G'day,
Gavin.
There you go, boys.
Good yeah, what'd you steal, Gavin?
I might have been after a particularly big session at Northies. We are... acquired an advertising balloon.
An advertising balloon. Okay. Where was it?
It was on a car dealership.
Are these the ones that sort of flail around when you put a bit of air inside them?
No. We're talking the ones that look like a hot air balloon.
Hot air balloon. Sit on the roof.
Yes.
Did you try and hot wire it and take it home?
No, we got it home.
Come on, guys.
We got it home. And I woke up the next morning and wondered what all this coloured sugar was in the bloody lounge room.
All right.
We don't support this, by the way.
This could be our chance.
Oh, here we go. All right. Yeah. Hey, a case of Brick Lane, Gavin, calling from the Central Coast. You can have that, or you could decide to have something from Mick's desk. It's a mystery prize. We're cleaning up Mick's desk. And we've had some great prizes recently. But, you know, it's your choice, mate. You either go to Brick Lane.
You sound like a gambling man. You sound like a man who takes risks.
Likes a bit of fun.
Gavin. I used to live on the wild side.
Mickey, yeah. Give me the table. Give me the desk.
All right. Hey, Gavin from the Central Coast, congratulations. You've won a golf pack from Mick Molloy's desk. That is three tailor-made golf balls and one generic golf visor.
And a golf visor? Don't throw the golf visor away, Dave.
The golf visor is going with the golf pack, which is the golf balls and the generic golf visor.
Hey, who's going to look good on the course?
Oh, mate, imagine.
Gavin is.
Look at you.
When you go out there with your brand new balls.
Yeah.
With your balloon. Thanks for playing, Gavin. Warren's on the line. Warren, what did you steal?
G'day, Warren.
Hey, mate, how we going?
What'd you steal, buddy?
Mate, probably the weirdest thing was back when tobacco advertising was still in the country, the big old Alpine Fresh ads.
Right.
On the, it was a big billboard on the side of a shop, and me and a mate had had a few brews on the way home, and there was about a 15-foot high by 15-foot wide wooden picture of a hot air balloon, which was almost falling off the wall, so we thought we'd give it a hand. We thought, that's going straight to the pool room.
You know what I love? There's a relationship between alcohol and moving big stuff. Someone needs to do a scientific-based study.
Yeah. Why is that?
Around. I'm sure that's how the pyramids were built. Jesus, had a big night. What did we do? Yeah. Crikey, where'd that come from?
Yeah, well, they had breweries back in Egypt, mate.
Speaking of breweries, slab of Brick Lane coming your way, big fella.
Case of Brick Lane for you, Warren. Well done, mate.
You're a champion, fellas. Have a good one.
Warren, Matt's on the line. Matt, what was stolen?
G'day, mate. How you doing?
Good.
Went out on the source for the night, and we parked our car down a side street near a popular night spot.
Yeah.
Come back to pick up the car in the morning, and someone had broken into it and started it up with a screwdriver and took a drive to Hungry Jack's and had a feast, threw their rubbish around the car, and kindly parked it back in the same spot.
Okay, you need to get the CCTV footage from the Hungry Jack's drive-thru.
Yeah.
Because we might be onto something. Well, good on them for returning the car.
Got it back at least, yeah.
And it's a happy ending for all. Brick Lane for you, mate.
Well, there you go. Well done, Matt.
Slab of draft coming your way. Yeah. All right, let's finish with Ivan. Ivan, what did you steal?
We stole the H off the first Hungry Jack's in the Northern Territory.
So people were driving past Hungry Jack's, were they?
Yep.
And why the H?
A presenter for our boss.
Ivan, why the H?
Yeah, why did the H go?
Couldn't afford a vowel? Couldn't buy a vowel? Yeah. What happened?
It was Air Force at the time, and our warrant officer was retiring, so we thought his nickname was H, so we got him the H with Hungry Jack's.
Oh, mate, give him a prize.
What about, here we go, I've got some tickets for you to go see Kiss, Ivan. You sound like you're a Kiss fan.
So you'll steal the K off Kiss.
Yeah, courtesy of Molloy, you're going to go see Kiss, the end of the road tour, coming to this country in November, tickettech.com.au to buy tickets. Well done, Ivan.
For the drive home, this is Molloy.
Hey, coming up, Jim Jeffries from Los Angeles. I'll be ready with the dump button and the beeps coming up soon. Always usually gets a bit ripe.
We're talking about stealing stuff. Yeah. Fiona's got a tale of woe. What happened, Fiona?
I woke up Monday morning to water my plants at the front door and someone had stolen my lemon tree.
Oh,
what?
Fiona.
That is terrible. Who would do that? Someone who needs a wee.
But then they left a bottle of kombucha and a flower at my front door the next day. So I'm not sure.
Did you get the lemon tree back, though?
Pardon?
Did you get the tree back?
No.
Well, who do you think would have stolen it?
I don't know. Maybe someone felt sorry for the tree because it wasn't grown properly.
You should have a look around and see who's... I'd do a quick sweep of the neighbourhood. Who wants a lemon? Like, how hard is it to get a lemon tree? Yeah. Go get your own.
Yeah, exactly.
Are they big lemons?
No lemons in 4 years, actually.
Do you water it?
How long is it, 4 years? Maybe someone took it away because it was an eyesore.
Yes.
Hey, give us something, Dave.
I'll tell you what, we're going to put you on the standby list and might be you tomorrow, Fiona, going to Byron Bay for Blues Fest 2021 with the likes of Jimmy Barnes, the Living Hand, the Angels, the Teskey Brothers
Sounds
and more.
Great.
So good luck. You're in the draw for that. All right.
On you, Fiona. Okay, time to go to space news now before we go to the break.
Yeah.
And this is interesting stuff.
I love it.
Because I've been following SpaceX.
Yeah.
Ever since they, remember Elon Musk says, I'm putting a bar in.
He did say that for his staff.
Mission Control.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went, oh, geez, I hope that doesn't blow up in
the face. You weren't on board,
literally.
But
it doesn't sound like a good idea. Mm. You never saw that at NASA, did you?
No, you don't.
Never had a happy hour.
No, they're always in front of their
computers. Houston, we have a problem. Yeah. We're out of lime. You don't see it.
No.
And then the minute he put the bar in, okay, this happened on a launch.
Yeah, this is back in February.
They went to launch a rocket on SpaceX.
We're preparing to restart two engines, flip the vehicle vertical, then transition to one engine for the landing burn.
Start speaking for fires.
Well, as you can see from the scene, we've got a lot of good data on flap control. And again, we've just got to work on that landing a little bit.
See, he's half glass full, that guy. I like
that
it.
That is a very good way of looking at it. We've got a lot of good data on flight control. Yes, amongst the shrapnel.
Duck for cover, quick.
Duck for cover. Well, anyway, so they've persisted with the bar.
Mm.
And it was with great interest today I watched a space rocket prototype known as SN10.
Right.
Take off successfully. You'd think it was going well, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Soared over South Texas during a test flight Wednesday.
I saw some of the video. It looks amazing, by the way.
Yeah, it looked great, didn't it? Swooping down to a pinpoint landing near its launch
site.
That's
incredible.
It's all over. Red Rover, you would think. Please have a listen to how they called it at SpaceX.
Third time's a charm, as the saying goes. We've had a successful soft touchdown on the landing pad. That's capping a beautiful test flight of Starship 10. Congratulations to the Starship team in Texas. They've steadily increased the test launch cadence over the course of the program.
That's awesome.
And we hope you'll join us for the next test flight of Starship 11.
It blew up.
And is it just me, or does that guy sound like Arnie Pie in the Sky from The Simpsons?
He really does, doesn't he?
There we have a successful touchdown. And talk about talking too soon. Well done. No. Congratulations. Successful mission. Kaboom.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Molloy.
And Jeffrey's coming up soon on Molloy. So you're not all for a hotel or a bar at SpaceX. You don't think that's a great idea at all?
I don't think the results have been great since they put the bar in. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, there is a trend going on now, the bar.
There is a trend. Yeah. Hey, we're talking about that guy and he's from SpaceX. He sounds like Arnie Pie. Let's have a listen to the guy.
We're preparing to restart two engines, flip the vehicle vertical, then transition to one engine for the landing burn. As you can see from the scene, we got a lot of good data on flap control.
I'll bet you did.
And again, we've just got to work on that landing a little bit.
He does sound like Arnie Pie.
Player, you got some Arnie Pie?
Kent, this city has exploded in a fireball of pent-up rage.
I think what the viewers want to know, Arnie, is my house okay?
You mean, is your giant castle okay, Kent?
Don't hate me because I bought at the right time, Arnie.
When's my right time, Kent? When's my right time?
Arnie Pie, all the time.
One of my favorite characters. Me too. The Simpsons.
They've commissioned two more seasons of The Simpsons, by the way. Seasons 33 and 34.
Unbelievable.
Keeps on coming.
Mate. That has to be the longest running show. Time.
What's that, Jay?
Greatest TV show of all time.
Yeah.
I think you'd have to go close,
wouldn't
you? It'd have to be in the conversation. Mm. One of the most subversive shows to ever go to air in prime time, too. Like, all the jokes are hidden. Well, not all of them, but,
And as you get older, like as my kids have grown up watching The Simpsons, and now they're older, they watch them again, and they get all the new gags
stuff
as well. So it's watching it all over
again.
My
boys watch The Simpsons. They're eight. They get the jokes.
And they get it. Oh. That's awesome.
I've told you this before. It's to me. I mean, that's a deal breaker for me. I've split up with a girl because she didn't like The Simpsons.
Really?
My boys love The Simpsons. However, they also like Jackass.
Well, that's
so it's a little from column A, a little from column B. Yeah. Jay, I need you here. I just want to do a quick vaccine update.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. A couple of things we need to get through. Mm. Firstly, guys, you need your vaccine passport if you want to get on Tinder.
What?
This is the way dating apps are going to pretty much legislate that you need to be on Tinder. And even though you don't, 40% of people using the dating apps are now saying that unless you're vaccinated, hit the road, toots. And that's how it's looking. Isn't dating in the modern era incredible? When I was a young lad,
yes.
the biggest worry you had was getting a dinger. that was the level of protection that you took. It? Now you got to go get a jab, to see a doctor, put on a gown, get a swab. You got to get a passport that says you're good to go. You got to fill out the paperwork.
It's a lot of work.
What is going
on? For a date, isn't it?
China's at it again. We told you yesterday that China had been asked by Japan to stop anal swabbing their nationals. So it's just not on. You're really upsetting our nationals and their psyche. Mm. Well, they're at it again. And the Chinese now insisting they're anal swabbing all tourists. All tourists to China must now cop one.
Yeah, 3 to 5 centimetres, I believe.
Cop one up the toot suite on the way in. Yeah. Now, I don't know. I thought with a bloody hell are you was a bad tourism campaign. But I'm not sure I want to see the ad for come and see us in China.
Mm. Bend over.
Yeah.
Bend over, touch your toes. Think, what a welcome.
Yes.
What a welcome. Like a chopstick to the...
Why wouldn't you go?
Mm.
Why wouldn't you go? Now, on a serious note, before we go to the song, I am really getting frustrated with Australia and Australians' rollout. We look at vaccines all over the world. They've got a map that tells you most countries are 50% done, 40% done, or percentage of population are done.
Yeah.
We are the last.
Right behind.
The last country in the world to get anything. What percentage of people do we have vaccinated?
Not many, Mick. So Bloomberg out of the U.S. is tracking all of the vaccinations. 271 million doses have been administered across 108 countries.
Fantastic. How many have we got?
It's an average of 6.36 million doses per day.
Yeah.
Mick, we're currently 70th on the list of 108 countries.
Mm. What is wrong with us? Okay. I thought we were at the front of the queue, ScoMo.
So worldwide, the average is 6.7 million. U.S., 1.7 million per day. Israel, 95,000 vaccinations per day. Myanmar, 21 per day. Australia's rate, it's a dash. It's never good when the data is a dash.
Can I point out, in Myanmar, there's a coup on.
That's true.
There's a bid on in Myanmar.
That is so true.
What is Greg Hunt's an anti-vaxxer.
He's the health minister.
Come on, he is. He doesn't want to do it. Pete Evans would roll it out quicker.
So far, there have been 30,000 doses administered in Australia.
This is pathetic.
0.12 of a dose, 12% of a dose per 100 people.
If I get locked up again while we're waiting to get these, I will.
That's right.
I've told you, shoot me in the ass with like a tranquilizer dart from the back of a moving Jeep.
Yep.
The Daktari shot. That's what I want.
That's right.
Oh, dear. All right. We'll come back with a song whisperer. Come on, Australia. Come on, stupid government. Jab me.
There's your slogan. All right. Song whisperer coming up. Then Jim Jefferies. This is Malloy on Triple M.
This is Malloy.
That was scary.
Oh, my God. Triple M.
GB was just in the studio.
Grant Blackley, who's the CEO of this company. He oversees thousands of employees and broadcast and online. And
runs it with an iron fist.
One of the most powerful men in Australian media.
I call him Blackers. What do you call him, GB? You can't call him GB.
Mate, you trashed the studio yesterday. It was very unprofessional. You are one of this country's finest broadcasters, and the behaviour yesterday.
I trashed the studio, but I had 4 staff members clean it up before he saw it.
Right.
He was unimpressed.
Mm. You're not happy.
Really?
Not happy about the way you treat this place. nor should he.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put him up on bullying charges like they're doing with Prince Harry.
Meghan Markle.
Is it Meghan?
No, it's Meghan.
Meghan, what'd she do? She's bullied. They put in an official protest, an HR complaint by HRR. an HRH.
Got it.
It's a Royal HRH HR.
Okay.
Do you get the idea?
Yeah.
But, you know, how's that for a whack back just before the Oprah doco?
It's going.
Good Lord. GB, you're cool?
He's good.
He's good.
Am I in trouble?
Yes.
Yep.
No.
It's going to be really awkward during the commercial break.
Have we tidied up the office? Look at the office. I've never seen the office so clean.
It's clean.
Jay had the spray and wipe out last night.
Sure.
You were wiping down walls.
I went in there, cleaned it up, It's looking good.
I saw a chimney sweep, and I've never seen one before. All of a sudden, there was a chimney sweep. Do you know what they do, you know, when they have, like, a big, like, a World Cup on in Brazil, and they just clean out all the favelas and paint all the buildings? There was a bit of that going on yesterday.
Completely. It was so superficial.
We had the crime scene cleaners in because GV was coming down. You guys, I was the only one who had any chutzpah.
Well, now we just need to keep it that way.
You know, what's that? We're cleaning my desk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're cleaning it out. What happened? What went today? That was good. Three golf balls and a golf visor.
Oh, mate, we're scratching the surface. There would be a year's worth of giveaways from your desk. Jeez. I'm not kidding.
There's plenty there.
It'll just keep on coming.
All right, time for this guy. With Jay, the
Song Whisperer. Mm. All right.
Fire away, big fella.
There are breakup songs, and there are songs of unrequited love, and then there is this rage-fueled manifesto of angst. Two people are having a thing, a relationship, an affair, a tryst. It's unknown as to its true nature. But this is true. Things did not go well, and at least one half of the relationship is not happy about it. The other appears to have moved on quickly, which just makes things worse. He can run, he can hide, but he cannot escape the truth of his betrayal, and no amount of playing house with some new family is going to fix things.
Right, well, this singer sounds a bit high maintenance. Is that a fair...
No, I'm going to say...
A bit naggy?
I'm going to say this singer, she knows exactly what she's talking about. And by saying she, I've said too much.
Oh. Is it Khalees? I hate you so much right now. I
hate you so much right now.
Very angry.
It is not Khalees.
Oh, I'm a bad babysitter, got my boyfriend in your bathroom.
What the hell?
You know that song. We'll have that for you, Mick, but it's not correct.
Mm. All right. Well, if you do know, 133353.
Tell you what, calm the farm, geez. Bit needy, would you say?
No. I'm saying somebody who knows exactly who she is.
Mm-hmm. Bit angry, you know what I'm saying? Well,
she's angry, rightfully so. Yep.
What do you mean, rightfully? Why do you always take her side? You don't know what the guy's done.
I'm on her team.
You what you are? You are a lipstick feminist.
Said it for years. All right, 133353. It's a Song Whisperer. This is Malloy.
To gather back around your wireless, people, here comes the big second hour of Malloy.
It's going to be massive, people. Gather around. Jim Jefferies not far away. He's been to Hawaii.
Oh, wow. Well,
I can't wait to get to the bottom of that. Can't see him in a grass skirt myself. No. But we will catch up. Gone Wild is up on blocks as we speak. Guess what Australia's most dangerous animal is, Dave?
Okay.
And you won't. This, it'll come as a bombshell.
Okay.
We'll also introduce you to a border collie who's got six legs. Yep, six
legs. That's a lot of legs.
Let the poor jokes commence.
Yeah.
We might take some more calls from you and stuff you've stolen when you're drunk. We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, but let's start at the top of the Song Whisperer. The Song Whisperer. And can I just say, can I have a guess?
Yeah,
what do you got?
Is it Kings of Leon?
Oh,
can I say this? Because if there's one band, I was thinking this the other day, if there's one band I'd really like to interview.
Yes.
I'd do a one-on-one with. Mm. It'd be Kings of Leon.
Well, Mick Malloy and Kings of Leon.
Could that ever happen?
Well, they've got the new album out tomorrow. They're performing on Stephen Colbert, I believe, tonight or tomorrow night. So they're
never
red hot.
About it.
Well,
what have you done?
Do you want me to, do you want the news now, Mick?
It's really awkward.
Dange has
been sitting at the end of his bed.
Yeah, Dange has interviewed Caleb from Kings of
Leon. I've already done it, mate. I did it.
I don't get you sometimes. Just because you're not on the poster, isn't it? Because you're not on the poster, you have to go and do it. So what have you done? A one-on-one sit-down?
Caleb Followell. Yep, he's the lead singer of Kings of Leon. I caught up with him at his home in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got to talk about Nashville, of course.
Did you ask him if he'd ever gotten a fight? Because he used to advertise himself as the brawling sons of a preacher man.
No, I didn't get into
that. See, you don't even know the good questions to ask, Dave.
We asked a lot of questions, and I think our audience will really dig the chat.
Did we learn something? Is there a bombshell?
We've learned a few things, yeah.
What? Give me something.
No, it's a tease for tomorrow. It'll be on the show. We'll play some bits tomorrow. How's that sound?
Oh, so we can play, say the embargo's over tomorrow. I didn't even know it was on. When did you do it, by the way?
I did it this morning, so fresh as a daisy.
Jeez.
Caleb Followell, Kings of Leon.
All right, well, this is the start of a new series, isn't it?
New
podcast series by Dave.
Yeah, Liz, singers I've interviewed by myself. By Dangerous Dave Williams.
So you make me sound like I'm a bit of an outlier.
Asshole. Showbiz asshole.
Yeah, well, learn from the best.
Made a very powerful enemy today. Song Whisperer.
Yes, sir.
Give us the synopsis, please. Talk of highly strung.
Oh, no, come on.
Seriously,
songs of unrequited love, and then there is this rage-fueled manifesto of angst. Two people are having a thing, a relationship, maybe, an affair, a tryst. It's unknown as to its true nature, but this thing is true. Things did not go well, and at least one half of the relationship is not happy about it. The other appears to have moved on quickly, which just makes things worse.
This is like an autobiography.
It really hurts.
Mick Malloy can run. Mick Malloy can hide. No. He cannot escape the truth of his betrayal, and no amount of playing house with some new family is going to fix things.
I didn't realize he'd done the wrong thing. Now right. I can understand
now
the
sort of sympathize with her,
why she's upset. Why did you bury the lead, Jay? Why did you only tell us he betrayed her at the end?
I've told you all sorts of things there.
Mm. Yeah, but I just think you sat on the lead, and I don't know why you'd do that.
Well, ask the callers if they
because we were trying to get a picture up
sure somebody
about who he is, who she is, and yet you were withholding information. Mm. Yeah, but now I think I'm on her side.
That's okay.
Now I think she may have a valid point. Oh. Before, I thought she was acting out and just being a drama queen.
Well, but I mean, you know, Mick. I mean, it's not like, you know,
when
Jaws starts, they don't show you the shark straight away. Well, actually, they do. It's in the first scene.
Okay. Well,
the shark attacks.
Yeah, it takes
a nude chick on the beach. Maybe that's what she's singing about, being attacked by a shark. Remember? She was frightening stuff.
Yeah.
Let's show body bits on the beach.
It's horrifying.
Peter's called up.
It's horrifying. Hello, Peter.
Oh, yeah, g'day, I'm on.
Yep,
you're on, buddy.
Hi, guys. Yeah,
finally.
sorry. My guess is Heart. All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You.
Listening to Anne and Nancy Wilson from Heart sing this beautiful song, and I'm thinking, is this a rage-fueled manifesto of angst? Mm. It's not correct, Peter. Sorry.
Don't they have a new song out? Have a new song out?
Heart.
Does she have a new song out?
I'm not sure.
We'll have to check that.
Well, you've probably interviewed her today.
No, I have not. Although I watched the Beach Boys documentary talk about the Wilsons the other day. Amazing. Brian Wilson, what a legend. Anyway, sorry, Peter. Hey, here's the thing. All our callers today will go on the draw to win tickets to go to Blues Fest 2021. We're going to draw that tomorrow, so good luck.
Can we go to Blues Fest this year? I think we should go to Blues Fest.
Well, it's only in a few weeks' time. Let's do it. Yeah, sure.
Too hard basket, isn't it?
Oh, is it? No, I'm happy to go.
Lee's on the line. Lee.
What's
Who is it?
I think it might be Adele, Rolling in the Deep.
Oh, I wish it was. I know a lot of girls.
Yeah, soft spot.
Amazing.
For Adele,
man. Saw her at Etihad Stadium on her own. Stood there, just dominated. Unbelievable. What a
singer. She is wonderful. Mm. But Lee, I'm sorry, it's not correct.
Oh.
No worries. Thank you.
Oh, like, don't hang up. You sound a bit disappointed there, calling from Mildura. We will give you, about $100 to use at your choice of hundreds of providers,
Dave.
Including, what? Come on, she sounds like she deserves it. Don't you, Lee? Netflix, Amazon, Uber Eats and more. So you got that prize.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
See? Happy now. That's great.
I think she took it for granted a bit. You seem elated. Well, would have liked a bit of a screaming.
A bit more?
Kelly's on the line. Kelly, come on. Who is it?
It's Alanis Morissette, You Ought to Know.
Oh.
This kind of fits the bill, doesn't it?
Oh, man.
What a song.
Yeah.
All right.
Kelly, well done. Correct.
Yes.
Oh, you got it. Hey, Kelly, you
well
also
done,
get $100.
Kelly.
You get $100 of your choice of hundreds of providers with the gift vouchers coming your way. And we'll also give you Slab of Brick Lane. How does that sound for a Thursday afternoon?
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Bloody good beer, by the way. Well done. So that's a good one. Kelly's got the right idea.
When's your interview out?
Tomorrow. So,
when
Caleb,
can people hear it? How do they go? Where do they go?
Listen to the show.
We're going to play it on the show. Is that
it's on our show.
Oh, sorry. We should have told Mick on his show.
I thought it was for your own thing.
No. No, it's going to be
for this show.
Yeah. Oh. Now, this is really awkward.
We're having a show meeting
on air. Yeah, so it's going to be on your show, my interview.
I won't allow it.
You know, okay, no phone, no worries.
Can we edit you out and ask all the questions?
More than happy to hear that.
I'm going to do that.
All right.
Overnight.
It will require
everyone tune in tomorrow for my interview with who?
Caleb Followell from Kings of Leon.
Kings of Leon.
New album out tomorrow. Mick Molloy.
You'll love it.
One-on-one. All right. Here's Alanis Morissette. This is Molloy. Jim Jefferies next.
For the drive home, this is Molloy.
And it's Thursday. It's very exciting because we get to talk to Jim Jefferies from LA. He's joining us right now on Molloy.
Hello, ladies.
And we have just been talking off air for about 10 minutes telling Michael Gudinski stories, most of them not repeatable on this program. Hey, you had the pleasure of meeting him, working with him, and recently touring with him. How did you hear the news about Michael?
Everyone started texting me from Australia, and then the news started getting over here. It was on a couple of the outlets over here as well. Like, it's world news that Michael Gudinski died,
Indeed.
I did a few tours. I think I was probably one of the first bigger comedy tours that he'd ever done.
Sure.
Because he kept on saying to me, he goes, "This is fantastic. This is wonderful. No bands, no nothing." Everyone's going on about how much he loved music. I tell you what, once he found out the finances of comedy, he loved comedy.
He took to it like a duck to water.
He kept on coming up to me, going like this, "Do the f***ing gun control routine. Just do the gun control routine." I go, "But they've already seen it." He goes, "In music, you just repeat your songs over and over. Do the gun thing." He never got his brain quite around that.
That's what he would have done. He would have had his set list. He would have said Rolling Stones would have opened with Satisfaction and then finished with Satisfaction.
He watched every single one of my set. He came along because promoters often don't actually sit there and watch it, but he travelled around the country with me. He watched every single set and he'd give me little notes afterwards and stuff like that. At that stage, I was doing a routine about circumcision, and when my dad came to one of the shows and he goes, "You know what I like about your son? He's circumcised." Yeah, that was good of you to do that. All right, Michael. So it's not all the jokes or the...
I knew there was something I liked. I recounted the other day, but it's still one of my favourite stories, is coming to see you at the Tennis Centre in Melbourne, the biggest stand-up show I've ever seen. It was at Rod Laver Arena. It was sold out, and it was Michael Gudinski. And your people came and got me and said, "I'll come, you know, if you want to come backstage." Jim's having a few drinks. I come back. Michael Gudinski had flown in from France that night.
Yeah.
And fair to say, he'd had a couple. And at one stage, he was shaking a bottle of champagne up and down. The corks hit the roof. A light has gone out. And you've come up, the talent, and gone, "Hey, mate, can you just dial it down enough? Just remember, we don't own this drink."
I go, because they're going to charge me if that something breaks. It's going to be on me rider. And that night afterwards, we went to Crown and we went in the mahogany room. And I was like, "Oh, Michael, I just want to, I'll do like $150 a hand, but I'm not much of a blackjack player. I've played blackjack around the world, but I'm like $150 a hand." And he's like, "I think the minimum there's $2,000 a hand or something." And so Michael just speaks to me and goes, "Look, the young fella doesn't have much money." And I'm like, "I just sold 13,000 tickets. I just don't want to." He goes, "The young fella don't have much money, but if you let him in, he's with me, it's all right, right?" So anyway, I thought he must have been a professional gambler. So I go, "I play blackjack a little, but I don't really know what I'm doing." He was putting down, begin with $5,000 a hand, $10,000 a hand, right? This, right? He didn't know what the f*** he was doing. He was hitting on 17s and all this type of stuff. And so I went, Michael, you're giving this money away. And so I started telling him, "You hit now." You know, and he had lovely theatre to him. Every time the hands were dealt out, he had a towel on his head. He was like, oh, look. Anyway, so he gets really high up. He starts betting $10,000 a hand, right? And I'm like this. Anyway, he loses a couple. He goes, "Oh, I've lost me mojo." He goes, "I'm off to the bar." And he goes, "You keep gambling for me," right? And I'm like, "What?" And he goes, "Just keep doing the same bet over and over again." There's already $10,000 sitting there, and it's just me at the table. So those hands go really quickly. And so I sat there for about 25 minutes. He came back. I was $200,000 up. No wonder the bastard loved me.
He would have loved that. He owed me a favour when he went, so I'm really pissy at him. He owes me a steak dinner at Vlados, so I'll be picking it up at some stage soon. Hey, can you hang around, Jim?
Of course I can.
Want to talk some more, buddy?
All right, Jim Jefferies with us. This is Molloy on Triple M.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Molloy.
Jim Jefferies is with us. You want to check out his podcast too? I don't know about that. Wherever your podcast, joining us from
Top
LA,
shelf.
Molloy.
Funny stuff. Thanks. Hey, where were you last week? Because you've been a regular now for us on a Thursday, and I missed you. Yeah. You left a gaping hole in the landscape last week.
I decided to have a honeymoon with my wife. I got the vaccine, so I thought, we'll go on. So we went off to Hawaii.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, Lanai, which is like this remote little island with like two resorts, and it's just 30 miles of road on it. You just drive around in jeeps. It's really nice. I did that thing where you go whale watching. I'm not doing it anymore. I've been whale watching once in Australia, twice in South Africa, and once in Hawaii. I've never seen a f***ing whale. And they always go on and on and on, and they go, oh, there was plenty of them yesterday. Oh,
yeah,
and
then, that's right.
They can charge so much because they call it whale watching, right? If they went, do you want to go on a boat ride where you might see a whale? You go, oh, that's only worth 50 bucks. That's only worth 50 bucks. Then you go, do you want to go whale watching? Oh, yeah, it's 200. I'll go, I'll do that because that sounds like a real thing. This whale watching company knew so much that they weren't going to see a whale that what they did was they got a microphone, they dunk it in the water like that when you don't see a whale, and then you hear down the microphone, and they're like, there's one within 3 miles. And all the people are like, ooh, isn't that exciting? And I was like, are you kidding me? Is this the entertainment? You can get that on a tape recorder.
Yeah, exactly right. It's pre-recorded.
Do you know what? I'd go on a whale watching tour if you're allowed to harpoon one.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? If you could just have line one up and have a real crack. Win a fluffy toy or something like that.
Whale Watchers was actually the original name for Weight Watchers, but they thought it was too hurtful.
Speaking of that, I went to Hawaii once, and why I loved it was I'm like the waif looking in Hawaii. I'm a small.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like a supermodel. They are the biggest boys I've ever seen, and casual. You know, those Hawaiian shirts. I just loved
I
turned on the news. The guy was reading the news in a Hawaiian shirt. I went, this place is great.
I know. Everyone wears the Hawaiian shirt. They actually have the lowest rate of suicide in all of America, and all the, because obviously it's nice. But I also think, like, do you reckon they all say aloha to each other when we're not around?
Yeah, I wonder.
We walk into the shop and they're like, aloha, mahala, like that, right? And then as they leave, they go, oh, that has left. Don't worry about it. Don't have to say it anymore.
They're coming. Get the ukulele. Hi, guys. Like, imagining you in Hawaii, would it be like the Brady Bunch episode?
Oh, yeah. I once went to Hawaii, and I was just in Honolulu, and my kid was little, and I went to one of those luau's where they give you, like, some crappy pork, and then they do a bit of dancing, and you learn about all the different islands, like they have a Maori dance, and anything from the South Pacific, they're dancing and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they go, the king of the tribe came out, and I was like, the king came out, and he has all the tattoos that said he was the king, and they were like, we still have tribes, he's our king, da-da-da-da-da. And he came up and he had a few gags, you know, and then he did the dance, right? He did the dance. Then afterwards, he walks up to me. He goes, are you Jim Jefferies? He goes, I'm an aspiring comedian, king of the tribe.
Wow.
He was just a bloke who had a few gags in the group.
He's an actor.
Yeah, he's an actor. He was trying to ask me where to get gigs on the mainland.
Man, I went to I was in like a cocktail bar. We were having some drinks. I said, do you want a thing? They said, you made me a fruit platter. They go, we're out of fruit. I go, it's Hawaii.
That's right.
It's Hawaii. What do you mean you're out of fruit? I'll go out and get it myself. I'll pick it off the trees. It's a good place, though, and you look refreshed and you look great. And I'm sorry about your friend Michael. It's been a tough week.
You knew him a lot longer than I did. I never got to produce a Brown album with him. We were in talks about a turquoise thing that never came through.
But we did three albums, I think, three albums with Michael. He never let us forget it. He was a good man, and we'll be sorely missed. Good on you, Jim.
Thanks for having me, lads.
Jim Jefferies joining us, the podcast. I don't know about that. Jim's back next Thursday on Malloy here at Triple M. Speaking of Michael Gudinski, Mick, we copped a classic Gudinski spray only just a few weeks ago when he was on the show.
His last appearance on this show was to ring up and give us the station, the program director,
Fitzy,
a spray for not playing one of his acts.
Yeah, the Rubens, who, by the way, have hit number one on the ARIA charts with their new album as well. So well done again to Michael. But this is what he had to say on the show.
Can I have a clown?
Oh,
yeah, yeah. You want a clown?
Triple M.
What for?
What's happened?
Not playing the Rubens.
Is it a bit poppy? What was their excuse?
Don't worry about it. By the way, the Rubens, they've got their fourth album out, 0202. These guys are a serious rock band. Unfortunately, Triple M classify them, but they play the Imagination Dragons. I'm not allowed to say this, but you can believe me, Mike Fitzpatrick, I had to help myself. But look, we've got a new album out today.
You mean our boss, Fitzy? You got a beef with Fitzy?
Listening. Believe me, I've got a brief. Who cares? No one can find me or you. What's
happening? Amazing. Just a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, I think as a tribute to Michael and the Mushroom family, let's get it on.
Here
let's
it
play
is.
Masterpiece. It's the Rubens.
The
drive home. This is Malloy.
Hey, we're talking today about stealing stuff.
Yeah, because someone
stole a sidewalk. Whole street.
In the UK. They took it.
It's a busy night's work.
Who steals that?
And we're thinking and we're asking everyone around Australia, what are you, you know, what have you stolen?
You
Chris is on the line. Chris, what did you steal?
Helicopter rotor blades.
Okay.
And quite specific. Why'd you do that?
We just repurposed them, really. They were on a base somewhere in Australia. We thought we wanted them more, so we took them down to our base.
So it's an inside job, right? Yeah. This is a Defence Force inside job.
Yep.
Rotor blades have gone from one base to another, no questions asked.
How do you smuggle rotor blades, though? That's quite specific.
We had a key that someone left in their unlocked car so we could do a midnight job. And,
I hope the special forces, because it sounds like you can get in and out of anything.
Yeah, we've got some skills.
All right, good work, Chris. Hey, duke him, Dave.
Case of Brick Lane for you, Chris. Thanks for calling from Brisbane, mate. Good to hear from
Danny's
you.
Danny's on the line. Danny's also from Queensland. Right, Danny, what'd you steal?
It wasn't actually me that stole it, mate, but it was some of my mates back in the early 90s.
Yeah.
They decided to set up looking like a road crew one night and steal a walkway bridge. All the checker plate walkway, all the handrails.
Hang on.
They just unbolted it all.
Hang on.
Just a bridge?
Just back it up. Your friend stole a bridge.
Yeah. They made themselves look like road crew.
That's just a road crew. Did they have the lights
out? Flashing lights.
Come on.
Gold. This is gold.
Set up a truck and...
I love it. Yep. Do you know, it reminds me of that Barry Humphries prank, which is one of my favourites of
What's
all
that?
Time. When he was at Melbourne Uni, he was standing over the top of the top of the street, Elgin Street there.
Right.
There's a walkway, and he saw some tramway workers working on the tram lines. So he went down, and he said to the tramway workers, he rang the police and he said, "There's a bunch of students dressed as tramway workers and they're pretending to dig up the
tram
lines."
Tracks, yeah.
And the cops go, "Fantastic, thanks to tip off." He goes down to the tramway workers and goes, "There's a bunch of students dressed as policemen."
That's awesome.
Here to tell you off. And then he went up and watched it on the overpass bridge.
That is amazing.
As the biggest fight you've ever seen. Well done, Duke him, Dave.
Case of Brick Lane for you, Danny, as well, mate. The draft available at Dan Murphy's. You got it. Well done.
Paul, what did you steal, mate?
Hey, boys, it wasn't actually me. This is first year uni back in the early 90s. And,
yes.
we got invited to one of the guys' parties. He was known to be a bit of a loose unit. And to paint a picture, we rocked up to his unit. And as we rocked up, he's actually surfing his ironing board down the front stairs. And when we get in there, he'd gone out the night before and gone into the Queensland University and stole the traffic lights, and he'd somehow managed to rig them up to his toaster. So you go in and turn the toaster on. You turn the toaster on, and then the lights would all be flashing in his kitchen. Yeah.
The toaster's up, ding, 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 ding.
That is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Duke,
the case of Brick Lane for you, Paul. Great. And we'll put you in the draw for Blues Fest 2021, which is happening tomorrow.
We'll come up there and see you soon. Oh, hey, well, one, time for one more. Tracker, where are you calling from?
Oh, Bundy.
Oh, nice.
Bundaberg. I like it. Home of the big Bundy. Now,
yes.
What's happening, mate? What did you steal?
Oh, it was a long time ago. A friend of mine, parents owned a motel up in Townsville, and a lot of musos, pretty well-to-do ones, used to go and play there or put them up there, and they'd play in Townsville. We decided to knock off Sharon O'Neill's leather pants.
Oh, God.
And she didn't like it too much, got a bit cranky, and she went down to the reception set.
Where did you take
back.
Your pants from? Where were her pants?
The clothesline. She had them hanging out the back hair of them out.
Jesus.
And we thought we wanted to try them on.
This is Sharon O'Neill is in Maxine.
Yeah.
Sharon O'Neill, New Zealand.
Yeah. Yep.
Finest export.
Yeah, that's the girl.
Tracker, enough. I'm surprised the cops didn't get involved, to be honest.
Well, they were rung, but because we put them back.
You put them back?
We put them back. Yeah, we put them back after we took photos and that of them.
Oh, good on your tracker. That's made my day. Duke him, Dave.
Yeah, case of bricklaying coming to tracker from Bundaberg in Queensland as well. Hey, more to come, including Gone Wild. Yeah. It is Malloy.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Gone Wild. I'm going to start with a caller because it's still related to what have you stolen, but right. It involves the animal kingdom.
Okay.
John, yes. Who stole what?
Mate of mine's a school teacher. Took the kids on a school excursion to the zoo in the UK. And they're at an interactive penguin display. So one of the kids had finished his lunch, empty backpack, saw a penguin-sized a backpack-sized penguin, and stuffed the penguin in his backpack.
Stole the penguin. From the zoo trip.
Oh. Yeah. Halfway home, got caught and had to turn the bus around off the motorway and return it back to the zoo.
Stuffed penguin in a backpack.
Mate, you can't. I mean, it all did a bit of shoplifting as kids, but you can't go on a school excursion and five-finger disco in a penguin.
Penguin.
You can't trouser a penguin. Nah. That's just a... Hey,
case of quick lane.
Done
John,
for you. Coming hey, let's get into the stories. Can I start with my favourite of the week? Newborn puppy Skipper.
Yeah.
He's like all puppies. He likes to eat, drink, water, and go to the bathroom, except for one thing. Border Collie, yeah. Australian Shepherd mix. Mm-hmm. Unique from the rest of the litter. Six legs.
Wow. Really?
A six-legged Border Collie.
Adorable.
How good is that?
That's awesome.
You know, this is how my mind works.
Right on.
You know, the first thing I thought of when I thought of the six-legged dog.
What's that?
Imagine being dry humped by that dog. How it would be creepy and weird and pretty full on. Like you'd be
that cushion's getting a real workout.
that cushion is gone. Get that cushion down to forensics. Imagine it goes to the dunny. It lifts three legs.
Yeah.
Yoink.
That tree's going to cop it.
Not only that, it's got six legs and two lipsticks. Mate, you can't have a six-legged dog.
He's adorable. I'm looking at the photo. Look at him.
Hey, dog,
he's
shake.
A champion.
Shake, 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 shake.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, not bad. Hey, we're an equal opportunity segment.
Yes.
We've got to go to the Cats now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's a big sea.
This has happened overnight, too. This is sort
have
of
you
a
got
breaking
the story
news.
In front of you?
Yeah, yeah. A Sudanese passenger plane had to get turned back and make an emergency landing after a feral cat attacked the pilot. Here's the news story.
Yep.
About 30 minutes into the flight, the flight crew realized that they weren't alone in the cockpit. Out of its hiding came a big feral cat. The cat proceeded with attacking the flight crew. The crew decided to make a U-turn and return back to the original airport of Khartoum.
Cat on a
stupid
plane.
Cat.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, that'd be a good movie. Like snakes on a plane, but cats on a plane.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these motherfucking cats on this motherfucking plane! Everybody strap in!
What's that?
Hey, I'm going now to Bird World.
All right, what do you got from the
seagulls?
Oh, yeah, you love seagulls.
They've been deemed too fat to fly. And grounded.
Whereabouts?
In Bahrain. Oh. Because they've got it so good. There's so much discarded human food and stuff that because they're scavengers.
Yes.
So they'd rely on scavenging. Well, there's so much waste lying around. Apparently, they're getting around looking like pelicans. And it's saying they're too fat to fly. Like, they're not cleared for takeoff.
Come on, keep flapping.
They're like Howard Hughes' spruce goose.
That's right.
They just keep going
down the
runway. But imagine a little seagull with a pot belly.
Yeah, that's awesome.
They'll be getting around in trekkie dacks in Bahrain.
That's right.
We've got time for one more. Guess what? Just a little bit of an anecdote for you. Guess what the most dangerous animal in Australia is?
Snake. Got to be like a tiger snake. Something.
No.
Crocodile.
No.
Crocodile.
Spider.
Definitely.
No.
Death spiral.
Spiders.
Bees.
Yeah. What?
It is bees. 25% of all hospital admissions due to poisoning in this country comes from bees.
Wow.
Did you know that?
No.
Hey, think of that next time you...
Mm.
Having your honey. It's horrific.
Yeah. There could be a movie in that. Couldn't there?
In the land down under.
G'day.
Lies an enemy.
What
the hell are they?
Twice as likely to cause harm.
A whole bunch of bees on the loose.
Really?
Never mind the spiders and snakes.
What the hell is that?
Venomous bees are on the loose. And they're not happy.
Everyone!
Don't get stung.
A whole bunch of bees!
By the venomous bees.
Wow.
Bees.
Beware. Who would have thought, eh?
Wow. Jeez, that's a frightening program.
Terrible. Terrifying, Matty.
Swarming. Yes. The swarm. Would you call it the swarm?
Maybe. Hey, that's Gone Wild. That's back next Thursday. More
I love
Malloy
this song.
Right after the police.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Just about done for the day of Malloy. Back tomorrow with Mick Malloy on Triple M.
And your one-on-one interview with Caleb from...
Yeah, frontman of Kings of Leon. Got the new album out tomorrow.
And how did I get sidebarred out of that again, just quickly?
Well, I believe it was like an... Jay, it was like an early morning interview, wasn't it?
Because I don't believe the timings worked with your schedule, Mick.
With your schedule, so...
I'm a busy man.
You're very busy in the morning.
You've got a lot going on.
Yeah, a lot of
meetings. Who else have you done a one-on-one with without me?
Oh, John Bon Jovi was one that comes to mind, I think. Dave Grohl we've done as well.
Yes.
What else we got?
Paul Hogan last year.
I'm going to do my own one-on-one.
Are you? Who with?
Well, that doesn't matter.
Well, it is your show. I mean, it's called Malloy, so it's all about
And don't you ever forget it.
Oh, mate, don't worry.
Who's on tomorrow?
Oh, tomorrow we are joined by Titus O'Reilly, who's amazing.
I love Titus.
He is very good. Clown of the Week, being a Friday and all.
Bang!
And, Kings of Leon. We'll be tomorrow. Malloy. Triple M.
This has been the Malloy Drive Show Podcast.